Today we're going to continue in our series, Who is the Father? Who is the Father? And we are right in the middle of bringing to an end of a series that we started. It's actually the third of a three-part series that we entitled, Who is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? We've been studying who the Holy Spirit was and who the Son is, and now we're talking about who is the Father. And we're learning about the attributes. We talked about the names of the Father, and now we're talking about the attributes of the Father. And we're learning about the attributes of who God is in our life. Because the more we understand who He is, the more we relate to Him different. The more we pray and we act different, the more we understand His purpose in our life. And so today we're going to continue, get right back into our flow of thought today is the Father is omni. Turn to your neighbor and say, He's omni. That's kind of a unique word, isn't it? Omni simply means all, all. I passed by a hotel this week in Dallas. That was the name of the hotel. The Omni Hotel. And I actually knew what it meant because I was studying for this lesson. And so today, it means all. And so when we say our God is all, what's that mean? He's all we need, isn't he? He's everything we need. He is all that we need. And when we begin to understand the resource that he is to us, the physical, spiritual resource that he has for us, that the Father is all, it changes the way we see his attributes. Because if he is all, everything, I mean, when we talk about the Lord is good, a few weeks ago we talked about how good the Father is, that he is good. That means he is all good. Everywhere, good, all good. And so today we realize that I am limited on my goodness. I am limited on my grace. I am limited on my mercy. Even though I may operate in it and try my best to operate in the fruit of the Spirit and show these things, I have my limit. Isn't it true? Am I the only one that reaches my limit? You ever been there and say, you know what, I just can't, you know, I don't think I can, I don't think I can just be show grace to anybody else today. If another person comes in here acting the way they're acting, you know, you ever had that problem? Or if your kids just act a certain way, you're like, I just about had it. I'm taking all I can take today. This dad or mom is getting ready to lose it. Why? Because we in ourselves are limited. As much as we want to be good, we're limited to how much we can be good. As much as we want to have mercy, we are limited on how much mercy we have. As much as we want to show grace, we're still limited on how much grace we can give, even the best of us. And so this is what's so awesome about our God is he is not limited. He is omni. He has all the grace that we need. He has all the goodness that we need. He has all the justice and the mercy that we need. So today we're going to dig into this and we're going to jump right into it. For those of you wondering, I did plan on praying today, so I did cut just a little bit out of my notes. Some of you are thinking, man, it's going to be a long day. Don't worry. I'm going to get you out here in a good time, okay? Pastor Gene's got your back. Don't worry. Let's dig right into it. Omni, the Father, number one, the Father is omnipotent, meaning he is all-powerful. This is not on your overhead, but you write it down, Matthew 19, 26. It says, with man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are what? Possible. With God, everything, all things are possible, meaning that God has all power. That means this. He has power to have grace as much as he wants to have grace. He has power to be good as he wants to be. He has power to have mercy as much as he wants to have mercy. He is all powerful. Now today, isn't it great to know that our Father is all powerful? Remember when you was kids and you thought your dad was all powerful? You thought your dad was Superman. And to grow up to realize your dad was really Clark Kent. That he was human, just like you. When we're kids, our dad seems like Superman to us, doesn't he? Many of us here, you understand what I'm saying. But how many are glad that our Heavenly Father is not Clark Kent? But our Heavenly Father does have all power. And he is not limited on all power. And he doesn't have to have a smoke screen to try to prove his power. But he is all powerful. And he has all power. And he is in control of everything. Our God is all-powerful and in control. He has the power and ability to perform whatever he decrees. If he decrees it in his word, he's got the power to back it up. If he's promised it to you and I, he's got the power to fulfill it. If he's claimed it over our life, he has the power to sustain it. This is just not wishful thinking. Our God is all-powerful. He backs up what he says, and he has the power to do it. See, because without the omnipotent, without the omnipotent, his attributes will be limited. If God wasn't omnipotent, then he would just have a limit to his attributes. He'd only have so much goodness. But because he is all-powerful, there is no limit. See, this is going to set someone free today. You realize there is no limits to God's goodness in my life. There is no limits to God's mercy in my life. There is no limits to God's grace in my life. There is no limits to God's healing in my life. There is no limits to God's Holy Spirit in my life. He has got no limits because he's omnipotent, all-powerful, to the fullest. Which means three things. Quickly, let me give them to you. Number one, I have power to overcome sin in my life. Say, what? I have power to overcome sin in my life. I love what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says about this. No temptation is overtaking you except such as common to man. Quit beating yourself up. Listen, quit beating yourself up. I'm the only one that's tempted, Pastor. I'm such a failure. I'm the only one that struggles with this. If you could really see what I was thinking in my head, if you could really see the things I've been tempted to do in my spirit, you wouldn't even let me in this church. Get over yourself. You're not that special. You're really not. That's what Scripture says. We all have been tempted. And every temptation is what? Common to man. This is the great news about this, though. Look what it says. But God is faithful. He is omnipotent. All-powerful. God is faithful. He, what, will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able, but with temptation also make, what, a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. The temptation does not have to take you the rest of your life. Let me say again. Temptation does not have to take you the rest of your life. Addiction does not have power over your life forever. You can break the bonds of addiction. You can break the bonds of bad habits. You can break the bonds of temptation because God has provided a way out. And his power is greater than any power of addiction. His power is any greater than any power of a bad habit. His power is greater than any temptation that I face and you face. He is all powerful. So if I'm struggling, I'm not operating and releasing God's power to operate in my life. The second thing I know about this all-powerful stuff, man, look what it says. The power, he has power over our bodies. I love this scripture. I think maybe you never even read it this way before. Let's look at it in Romans 8:11. Look what it says. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead, who's that? The Father, right? He who raised Christ from the dead, the Father will also give life to your mortal, everybody say mortal, mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Well, I know he's got power over my spiritual man, but I have a lot of flesh and blood. Well, the great thing is this, that we have been given power over our bodies. How many love Easter? Do you love Easter? I love the celebration. I love Easter pageants. I love seeing the Easter plays, the passion plays, and all those things. And always the greatest time is seeing that stone roll away, and the fog machine comes on, and the light shoots out of the tomb, and the cable takes Jesus up in the air, and everybody's singing, hallelujah, hallelujah. I mean, we're like, ah, we go crazy. It's like, you know, chills go up and down your body as we begin to picture it. You know what I'm saying? This is a great thing. This is what Scripture says. It says, that same power that raised Christ from the dead, it's been given to us over what? Our mortal bodies, our flesh and blood. So that changes the way I pray for my healing. God, you are in control of my body. It changes the way I pray for my addiction. God, you can cause my body right now to detox. God, you can cause my body to begin to lose cravings. God, you can give me the power to overcome addiction in my life. Why? Because he has power over my bodies, my flesh and blood, not just my spirit, not just my mind, but my will, my emotions, my flesh and my blood. And number three, we realize that this all-powerful God, that he has power, what? Over Satan. He has power over Satan. Look what 1 John 4:4 says. You are of God, little children, and he has overcome them because he who is in you is what? Greater than he who is in the world. How many liked watching Frankenstein when you was a kid? Anybody like that, those movies, old movies? I remember back in the day before we had 3,000 channels on satellite, remember we used to have to stay up and you only could watch movies on like Friday nights, you know, and they had like a Friday night scary movie that would come on at midnight. Anybody ever had that at your local channel growing up? Okay. And so I love Friday night scary movies at midnight, and it always shows some of the old classic, you know, scary movies. And one of my favorite was always Frankenstein, you know. And this is a classic story about Frankenstein. I'm not going to get into it. You really know it, but the bottom line is that he created the monster. He created something and it turned into a monster and it outgrew and overtook the creator. The creation overtook the creator. And I just tell you, that's good TV. It's good classic TV. It makes for a good laugh. And, you know, but our God didn't create anything that he doesn't have control over. So who created Satan? His name was Lucifer. Who created him? God created him. Who kicked him out of heaven? It was God. So no matter what goes on in your life, I want you to know this. No matter what Satan tries to do in your life, no matter what Satan tries to tell you, no matter what Satan tries to do in your life, that God's power is greater. And Satan will never defeat God. And as long as I am tapped into my Father's power, as long as I'm connected to my Father, there's nothing that Satan throws my way that God can't handle. Let me say this, there's nothing that Satan throws my way that I can't handle when I'm connected to God. Because what? Because he's omnipotent, all-powerful. The Creator has power over his creation. Number two, the Father is omniscient, all-knowing. He knows everything. God knows everything, actual and possible. He knows everything, past, present, and future. God is never caught off guard. God's never like, whoa, I didn't think of that. Whoa, I wasn't ready for that. He doesn't have those things. Nothing just occurs to God. You've heard me say that before. Nothing just occurs to God. He doesn't go, you know what? I just had a thought. He has it all. He has all knowledge. You've heard me talk about this, and we talked about the Holy Spirit. He says he's many things he wants to reveal to us still today. Many things the Father has. He has all knowledge. Nothing takes him by surprise. This is the great news because he already knows what we're going to go through. He already knows what we're going to walk through. And he has a plan out. That's the great thing. You're going through a tough time in your life, God is not surprised. And if we'll stay focused on him, he's already got the plan to get out. He's already got the plan on the other side. He's already got the light shining through the tunnel in the middle of the dark hour. He is ready to walk us through our difficult season, and he's already got your new season of fruitfulness waiting for you. If you don't give up and stay connected to the Father, he has all knowledge. He is not taken by surprise when a tornado wipes out your home. He's not taken by surprise when you lose someone close to you. He's ready to sustain you. He is ready to carry you. He is ready to guide you. And he's got you ready on the other side of your problem. He's got you ready for a new season. Eventually, you're going to get there. If you won't lose faith, hold on to the Father. He is all-knowing, and he's got a plan. And what Satan is trying to destroy you with, the Father is going to make you tough. And he's going to make you rough around the edges. But he's going to put some character. How many know that our character comes through our hard times? If I hadn't went through the hard things in my life, I wouldn't be the pastor I am today. If you hadn't gone through what you went through, you wouldn't be the person you are today. Was it easy? No. Was it hard? Yes. But thank God that God had a different plan. Thank God that he sustained me. Thank God that he was all-knowing. And he is leading me through. I love what he talks about to Job. I love this story in Job 38. Job had lost everything, one of the wealthiest men in all the land. We know one of the wealthiest men ever, according to everything that he owned, lost all of his wealth, all his possessions, his children gone, killed, destroyed, lost his whole family. His wife deserts him, and he's sitting there in a scrap pile, a broken pot, scraping his leprosy that had stricken his body. His friends are mocking him, telling him to mock God and die. And finally, Job kind of cries out to God. He's like, "Yo, God, do you know what you're doing here?" And I love God's response. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, and he said, "Who is this?" He said, "Who is this who darkens counsel by the words without knowledge?" Look what he says here. "Now prepare yourself like a man." He says, "Job, it's time for you to pull up your big boy underwear. I'm going to talk to you like a man. It's time for you to get off those underoos and get on some big boy's underwear. I'm going to talk to you like a man. And I'm going to ask the questions and you're going to answer, Job." Look what he says. "Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, Job, if you had this understanding. Who determined the earth's measurements? Surely you know, Job. Or who stretched out the line upon it?" Look what verse 12 says. "Have you commanded the morning since your days begin?" He's like, "Job, when's the last time you got up and said, 'Hey, sun, arise'? And have you caused the dawn to know its place?" He's like, "Job, when's the last time you turned out the lights on the world and said, 'It's time for the sun to set'?" Look what verse 16 through 23. "Job, have you entered the springs of the sea together? Or have you walked in search of the depths? Have you been at the gates of death and been revealed to you? Or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you knew all the answers to this, Job." And Job's like, Look what he says here. Look what he finishes off with in 34 or 35. He says, "Can you lift up your voice to the clouds, Job, that an abundance of water may cover it?" He's like, can you just call the rain to fall? He's like, "When's the last time? Can you send out the lightning? When's the last time has the lightning came to you and asked permission to strike?" Job's like, I don't know, God. He's like, "Good, you don't know, but I do, because I'm all powerful. I'm all knowing. I know what's going on. I know you're hurting. I know you're grieving. I know you've lost a lot, but I got a plan, Job. I got a plan. Don't give up. Don't win the towel." The third thing we see about the omni of God, he is omnipresent. The Father is omnipresent. It means he is everywhere. See, "I've been everywhere, man." God was the original author of that Johnny Cash hit. God says, "I am everywhere." God is fully present in all places at all times. Look what Psalms 139 says in verse 7 and 8. "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" He's like, "I can't get away from you, God. You're everywhere. If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're even there. God, you are everywhere." Let me tell you something you don't know. God can't travel anywhere. You ever thought about that? God can't travel anywhere because he's already there. He's already there. Come on. Take a look around. He's the sunshine in your hair. Come on. He is there. He's already there. He doesn't go somewhere. He's already there. We travel. He is there. He is there. He is there. God is here. God is there. God is everywhere. He is there. Where's Dr. Seuss when you need him? He's there. God is there. This is what I love about this, because God is above all. presiding over us. He is beneath all, sustaining us. He is outside of all, embracing us. And he is inside of all, feeling us. He is everywhere. One more time. He is presiding over us. He's underneath us, sustaining us. He's outside of us, embracing us. And he's inside of us, feeling us. He is everywhere. So if God is everywhere, then how is it possible for us to be far away from God? Scripture talks about times where we were far away from God. So if God is everywhere, how can I be far away from God? Well, you're going to get that answer this morning. So I believe the Holy Spirit's given it to me. And I'm going to show you just how possible it is to be with God, but not to be close to God. Because when he's talking about being close to God, we're talking about in unity and in spirit. My wife is sitting over there. I'm sitting right here. If we're at home, we can be in different rooms, or we can be in a big room sitting all the way across from each other. She can be on her iPad looking at Facebook. Not that she would do that, but, you know, she's been known to do that several times during the day. It's ministry. It's ministry. Okay, ministry. She's encouraging. But when we're in unity, I can be across the room with my iPad, and I can be checking out SportsCenter, reading USA Today or whatever. And you know what? I look over at her, and she's smiling at me. I know what her eyes are saying. I can't wait to get my hands on that hunk of man. I know, I can think, oh, she's thinking. Even though we're sitting apart, even though we're not even talking, there's times that I just feel so close to her because what? We are in unity and spirit. And we don't even have to be talking to each other. We just feel close to each other. You know what I'm talking about? You ever had those relationship moments where you're just so close to that person? You're not even talking to them. You know, just being in the same room is enough. Just being around them is enough. But there's other times that maybe we have just had a little disagreement. Just a little one. That turned into a big one. And then we get in the car to go somewhere, and we are right next to each other. Heading to church because we got a minister, because we're the pastors. You know what I'm saying? So we're heading to church. And you can cut the tension with a knife. Oh, we're right next to each other, but are we together? No. You can cut it. Why? Because we have allowed ourselves to be ununified. We've allowed an argument to cause tension between us. We've allowed a disagreement to discombobulate our unity. See, it's possible that God is everywhere. But if I'm not walking in unity, he will not manifest his presence to me unless I'm walking in unity. You want to see the manifest presence of God in your life daily? Walk in unity with the Father. Walk in unity with the Spirit. And see if he doesn't manifest himself to you. You spend your whole day and you go through things, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit shows up and the Father shows up, and you find yourself doing things. You're like, man, God, you're so good. You're right there with me. God, I was getting ready to react and probably tell my boss off and lose my job because something wrong was happening. But you know what? I felt the Holy Spirit. I felt the Father put his hand over my mouth and caused me to bite my tongue and to smile and walk away. God, you're so good. And now I can go home and not tell my wife I lost my job. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, I'm close to him. He's going to guide me. He's going to lead me. I'm in Walmart, and all of a sudden I felt the Holy Spirit come on me, and man, I begin to talk to somebody about God, and I begin to minister to them. And they cried, and I prayed for them. What was it? God's Spirit manifested himself in me. Why? Because I'm walking in unity with the Father. He's there. But if I'm not walking in unity, even though he's here, I'm not experiencing the manifestation presence of God in my life. He says, call upon the name of the Lord. And what? He will draw close near to me. That's our Father. That's the relationship that he has. And he can do it. This is what's so awesome. Because he is omnipresent. Steve, he can draw close to you. At the same time, he can be close to Tom. At the same time, he can be close to Rona. At the same time, he can be close to Michelle. At the same time, he can be close to Laura. At the same time, he can be close to Tim. At the same time, he can be close to Mike. All at the same time. Because he is omnipresent. His presence is everywhere. And as long as I walk in unity, I'm going to walk in his presence everywhere I go. So no matter what I go through in my life, as the magicians are coming this morning, as we understand the omnis of the Father, the omni, he is omni. He is all powerful. There's no problem that he can't handle in my life. He is all knowledge, all understanding. There's no solution that he doesn't already have the answer for. There's no problem that he hasn't already had the answer for. And he is omnipresent. He is everywhere. There's nowhere I go that I can outrun, outwalk, outgo from the stretching of the presence of the Lord as long as I walk in the unity of the Father. Do you want to walk in unity of the Father? How many want to walk in unity of the Father today? How many want to walk in his unity? I'm going to ask you to bow your head just for a quick minute. Nobody's looking around but me, and I want to ask you this question to make sure today. Almost every week, we have people who are coming through these doors who need to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You say, Pastor, as you're talking about the Father and knowing who he is, today I've got to say that I do not know who the Father is. I know about him, but I've never had a personal relationship with him. And today, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Today, I want to ask him to come into my life. Maybe you've never, ever prayed that prayer before. And today you want to pray that prayer. Maybe you prayed that prayer a long time ago. And today you say, Pastor, I just want to come back and renew it. I haven't lived for God in a long time. And today I want to come back and renew my commitment. Nobody's looking around but me, and I will not embarrass you one bit. If that's you today, can you just raise your hand and say to me, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else want to join us today? Raise it high where I can see it. Thank you. Anybody else want to join us today? Say, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready. Thank you. Anybody else want to join these four today? Say, I'm ready. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else want to join these six today? Say, I'm ready, Pastor, today to accept Jesus Christ. I'm ready to renew my relationship. I'm ready to ask him to be Lord of my life. If you haven't raised your hand yet, I'm going to ask you one more time right now to raise it. If I can see it, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready. Raise it high. Thank you. We're going to say this prayer together. Especially those who raise your hands. But as Christians and as a church, we're going to say it with you out loud. Please repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you all of my life. All of my sin. All of my hurt. All of my pain. All of my dreams. I give to you today. I believe your Son. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And from this day forward, I will live for him. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today or renewing your commitment, we just say welcome to the family of God. Yeah, what a great thing. I'm proud of you today. If you prayed that prayer today, before you leave, please stop by the back. We've got a free Bible and some other things to tell you what you need to do next. Today's just the beginning. It's not the ending. It's the beginning of a new journey. And if you don't surround yourself with people who can encourage you, it's going to be a really tough journey, okay? You need to be around people who are going to support you. They're going to love you. They're going to encourage you. If you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you here. If you have a church home, go home and tell your pastors, tell your whoever you know. Say, man, I renewed my commitment to God, or I accepted Jesus Christ, and I want to know what it means to be a Christian and have to support you. Stop by today if you made that prayer. Pick up those free gifts so we can get a chance to meet you and give you some thanks. The rest of us today, I'm going to invite everybody else to stand to your feet this morning. How many today say, Pastor, I want to walk in unity with the Father. I want to learn to walk in his presence every day. I want to learn to trust him in every area of my life. Man, he's got my back, doesn't he? So I'm going to invite you. We're going to close out with a time of prayer, and I'm going to invite everyone who wants to today. Can you come to the front? just feeling around the front today. We're going to sing this last song together around the front. I'm going to invite, whether it's your first time here, you're welcome to join us. Please feel like you don't have to, but we like to close out. It's a time of praying together. It's a time of worshiping together. Just kind of cementing the Word of God. Just something about getting out of your seat and saying, yes, I'm walking into a new dimension. I'm walking into the Word that I heard today, and I want to cement this thing in my heart. Something about getting out of your seat and walking. It says, I'm coming into agreement with that Word spoken over my life today. So I'm going to invite you to come. If you need to fill up the aisles, that's fine. Spread out, guys, and kind of make room. If you need to fill down the aisles, that's great. We're going to sing this song together. And then I'm going to pray over you. It simply says, I give myself away. How many said did that make in your prayers? I want to give myself away. That God, you can use me any way. Come on, let's sing it together.
I give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Here I Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I'm longing to see your desires revealed in me.
Oh, Lord,
I give myself away. Myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
All that I have, oh Lord, I give to you.
I give myself away so you can use me.
Take my heart.
As a living sacrifice, all my dreams, all my plans, Lord, I place them in your hands. I give myself away. So you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away. So you can use me.
Raise your hands and say it.
I give myself away. So you can use me.
Oh Lord,
give myself away.
We give ourselves to you, Father. We give ourselves to you.
Give myself away. So you can use me.
Father, right now, Lord, I pray on every person here. Father, this morning, Lord, as we lift our hands, Lord, to heaven as a sign of surrender, God, I pray to Father, you are causing us, Lord, to trust you. But those who are mourning, God, you are there. That's what it means. Those who are mourning, you're there. Those who are weary, you are there. Those who are lonely, you are there. Those who are sick, you are there. Those who are walking in fear, you are there. Those who are walking in times of great blessing, you're there. And God, you have not left us, but God, you are walking with us. Your presence is everywhere. And God, I pray today that we will stop fretting and God, begin to trust in you even through our dark season, even through our time of mourning. And God, knowing that you are going to cause us to smile again. You're going to return joy because your word says that even though weeping lasts throughout the night, the joy returns in the morning. And God, I thank you, God, that you are the God who gives back joy. You're the God who gives back destiny and purpose. It gives back, God, into our life. We give our life to you. Come on, one more time, sing it.
This life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. I give myself to you. Oh, my life is not my own. To you I belong. Oh, I give myself to you. I give myself away. I give myself away. So you.
So I'm going to walk in unity with the Father. Are you going to walk in unity with the Father? If you just believe that, put your hands together and give God a praise. We thank Him that He is omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipresent everywhere. That's our God. Turn to your neighbor, give him a big high five and say, our God is greater and bigger than you could ever dream or imagine. And He's got our back. God bless you today. Thank you for being here. You guys have a great week.